is again in such great need of divine help. I must venture now this afternoon in calling your attention to the word of God that you will find in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and venturing to read the first clause in verse 32. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and reading the first clause in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former day. But call to remembrance the former day. And if the Lord would indeed favor us, and I'm very aware that we need divine favor, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to come just a little into what these words mean regarding this house of God. Because today we meet to give praise and honor and glory unto our God for his many, many mercies that have been made known to this house of God through so many years. And I have felt, as I think I may have mentioned in prayer, I feel that the very substance, the very center of our worship here today, as it is ever needed, is give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And I believe that that is the mutual desire of the dear pastor and of the flock who worship here. Now, if we are to be enabled to call to remembrance the former days. Now I am very aware, and I believe the Lord has enabled me never to forget this, we need to be very careful with God's holy word. And we ever need to be preserved from taking the word of God out of its context. But today, and I will just tell you how I have come by this word. But if we are to be enabled to call to remembrance the former days, the former years regarding this house of God, and I'll tell you how I have been brought to this. If we are to be enabled, we're going to need the fulfillment of such truth as this, as in John 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But yesterday, during the afternoon, in my little room, learning about the services today, suddenly, I believe, I can only venture like this, but I believe the Lord came and began to burden my soul regarding the services today in a very perhaps unusual way. And I felt a prompting to find one of Mr. Paul's books on our chapels and churches, not even knowing whether there might be an account there of this house of God. Now I found it to be so. And with this, it was as though the Lord said to me, now tomorrow you must venture to read these words. And I'm aware of what surrounds them, but friends, it's an occasion when I have to read God's word and hope that the Holy Spirit will enable me to say what needs to be said. But call to remembrance the former days. That has meant that I have needed and I have put down a few things to help me to have this, what I feel I'm to say, in some right order. This house of God was opened, or the opening services were held here. There is the bill in the vestry there that is, of course, very old, and it tells of that day. Now, the opening services were held here on the 21st of July 1958. Now, that is 145 years ago. And those of you who know something of the history of this chapel will know, oh, how different it was when it was open. It stood almost on its own. How different what it is today. And the Lord was pleased to bring a dear man and his wife here. I have no intention of just simply relating these things, but friends, I've been burdened like this, and therefore I can only obey that burden. The call to remembrance, the former day. And as the Lord has spared and helped the dear pastor that is here now over the past 25 years, and to think that his own dear father was also the pastor here for 27 years, which means that father and son have been permitted and enabled to preach in this chapel for 52 years out of the 145. But there are a few things in relation to this house of God that I have felt compelled to convey. Because really, today, in its true sense, is a special day. A special day to the dear pastor. A special day to the flock here. And we have gathered with that desire to give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Dear friend, how can poor sinners do that? Only as they possess spiritual life and are brought near and nearer still to their Saviour. And when our poor hearts are touched by the love of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are feelingly brought to the feet of Jesus and come in the spirit of Top Ladies' Hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul, black, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Now, if only the Holy Spirit will touch all our hearts and bring us unfailingly to the feet of Jesus, so that we may be given, oh, to be given today, a broken and a contrite spirit. And then we should worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then Christ will be first and last and all in all. And that, I'm sure, is our desire. But call to remembrance the former day. As I have said to you, we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. Well, the first pastor here was Mr. Joseph Hatton. And it was during his time, and earlier in the years, when Smallfield Chapel was opened in the year 1851. This chapel was opened in 1858. But the sovereignty of God, because Mr. Joseph Hatton first preached in the area, as I would judge, around surrounding Smallfield Chapel. But oh, to think that according to the will of God, he resigned here. He preached here on Sunday evenings only, as I understand it. And then he felt he must resign. And yet to think. So that took place in the late 1870s. And then to think that Mr. Edwin Picknell, he commenced his pastorate here in 1877, the second pastor. And then, of course, and this, you'll pardon me for this thought that I found regarding Mr. Edwin Picknell, that he was baptized at Hancross Chapel by Mr. Henry Bradford, who, of course, was the pastor at Eastport. And that struck a chord in my heart. Because, of course, I thought of dear Hancross and the dear pastor there. I thought of Smallfield, where I have been allowed to preach in the years that are now past. I think of Shaw's Corner here in Red Hill. But oh, the sovereignty of God in it all. Dear friends, we need help today to bow before the sovereignty of God in his divine purposes. But if we think about it, this house of God has stood for 145 years. And you might think, well, this is not a special occasion, because in another 5 years they would reach 150 years. That I have to leave with the Lord. But the Lord has burdened me in this way, a most unusual way, and it seemed very powerful yesterday afternoon. Well, that dear servant of God, when he died in 1918, he was buried by Mr. Reuben Weeks, who attended it. And that is where I grew up. That is where I, through the mercy of God, was baptized 50 years ago, this year. So these things, I believe the Lord used them to touch a chord in my heart. And then, when Mr. Edwin Picknell died, he preached on a certain Lord's Day, was taken ill the next day. And he was very loved and used. He was the pastor from 1877 to 1918. And then the next pastor was Mr. E.G. Brockes. And he commenced in 1925 until 1941. And then Mr. Reuben Mercer commenced his pastorate here in the year 1915. And he was very favoured with dear Mr. Wilkins. And those here today, no doubt, would remember so you'll see. And to think, that is all I'm going to say in this respect, but to think that the dear son of Mr. Wilby Mercer, dear Philip, the Lord had already burdened him. I'll say no more than that. And so he has continued. And surely, even in that respect, don't we need to give praise and honour and glory to our God here today? Dear friends, don't we need to? I feel, you know, if I may express a word from my own heart, but oh, what a solemn lack of praise there is. What a solemn lack of praise there is. First of all, in my heart, and in our hearts, it seems sometimes as though we're almost afraid to praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I'm very aware that the devil will ever say, you better not say that. You may regret saying it. The devil will always try to prevent poor sinners from giving praise and honour and glory to their God. And it takes my mind, I know it often does, but friends, you know, in that time when King Jehoshaphat and those with him, they were faced with mighty enemies approaching, and all that it meant. And you'll remember how all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Don't we need grace to do that today? Don't we need help to do that? You know, I feel that is such a word of guidance to us. And there they stood, and their only hope, you'll remember what their king said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And I'd often thought of this, and I can't help saying it, but you know, in that congregation there was a poor man, and his name was Jaaziel, and he was as full of fear as his king and those with him, until that moment, then upon Jaaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You know, that transformed him from a poor trembling man into God's servant. And that's just how it is with God's servants still. It's how I have been. The very thought of standing here today has filled my poor mind with apprehension and fear lest the Lord would lead me to confusion. But oh, you see, what I just wanted to say was this. You know, the Lord then enabled Jaaziel to declare wondrous words of promise. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. But what happened before they were delivered from their enemy? Have you ever heard these words in your heart? And when, not till, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. And they went out singing, the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, friends, do we wonder there's a withholding of the Spirit's power in these solemn days? I begin with my own heart, you know. I begin with my own heart. Oh, dear friends, oh, how many times, and it's true here, how many times I think of the five pastors in this chapel over a period of 145 years. Now, doesn't that say something? Doesn't that say something? Even in that sense, why a God-given pastor is a gift from heaven. It is indeed, and we need grace to understand that and to rightly hold that. The Lord has said, I will give you pastors according to my heart that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. What a gift. But when there are dear people, it seems evident to me that there have been a people here who have been glad of their pastor. Glad of their pastor. Oh, and if I'm allowed that thought, you know, it's been like that at Grove Road Chapel Eastport. Every pastor so far has lived to know and love their successor. And that's a wonder in itself. They've never really been without a pastor. And yet some of our chapels today have never had one. Well, I don't know why I'm saying that. But nevertheless, you see, we come here today to give glory to God. And that is our desire. And even if you should forget everything else that I may be helped to say, may we not forget this. We have come. And that is why I read what I did to you this afternoon. Oh, what truths we have here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, it says in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, friends, it could be, I only leave that thought with you, but it could be one of the many reasons. I know there are many, but there is a solemn withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit in these days. I've been trying, that's all I can say, to preach now for 38 years next month. And when I look back to when I began and how things are today, it seems as though God's servants, they preach, and very rarely do they hear anything from those that they preach to. Now, isn't that a solemn thought? Isn't that a solemn thought? Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Friends, I ask you, dear people, how often do you think to tell your pastor or any of God's servants when you have been favoured? You know, there are times when God's servants, the Lord knows they need it. But what an encouragement it is to them when they have found, and even when they preach in absolute bondage, when they find that the Lord has spoken through his word. So the desire then is today, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, that he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And I felt when we read that 36th verse, surely, if ever there was a day when as a denomination and the Lord's people, we need to be brought here and say, ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Now, if only we could really come here today in these services, and all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Now, I leave all those few thoughts that I felt, well, I felt burdened, and I've had to venture in the way that I have. But now you see, the thing is this. What has been preached here? What has been preached here throughout all these years? Well, the answer to that surely is what the Apostle Paul gave utterance to in his, I think it's his first epistle or his second epistle, that doesn't really matter. But he says this. Now I believe that each one of those servants of God, in their measure, according to the way the Lord has led them, and you know really and truly, it's only men who are enabled to preach that that they do know, and testify of that that they have seen. The Lord Jesus said, didn't he? We speak that that we do know, and testify of that that we have seen. And doesn't he add the thought, and you receive not our witness? Even the Lord of life and glory knew this. He was rejected. He was despised. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, to think of the Lord of life and glory, and it was said of him, never man spake like this man. Now that could never be said of any poor preacher that's ever priest on this earth, but it could be said about Jesus. Oh, have you ever thought what it must have been to have been in his presence, to hear him preach? And yet we know that thousands, if you think of the whole race of the children of Israel in those days, and yet do you remember there were those, when Jesus preached those very solemn words, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in him. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Do you say that? Or can you say the very opposite? Oh, could we say with dear Peter, the sergeant of the earth, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now then, I thought now it was as though the Lord said, now you go and tell them these things, but then try and tell them what have been, or what has been preached in this chapel over all those years. 145 years next month, this chapel is still. And I believe all those five pastors, that they could all in their measure, they could say this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But it was this. This has been the theme. This has been the center of worship here in the hearts of those five pastors. For I determined, holy determination, God, Holy Spirit, wrought within the heart. For I determined, as Lord, if thou wilt give me the grace, as thou wilt, if only thou wilt give me the grace, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that has been the centre of the gospel. It has ever been so. And I, after all these years of trying to preach to you, friend, my heart joins with dear Mr. Collier for a month. He came to Jira Tenton and he'd been preaching for over 50 years. And that day he said this. He wondered if he'd ever really preached Jesus. And that searched me. It does today. Oh, this is something that burdens my soul. Do I really preach Jesus? Have I really preached Jesus? Well, the dear servant of God, he felt like that after over 50 years. But surely that's the Lord's way to bring us to his feet. It's the Lord's way to deliver us from poisonous pride. It's the Lord's way to keep us near. Dear Mr. Beadle, dear man and servant of God that he was, only a few weeks before he died, I went to see him, and the Lord saw fit that he should spend his last days in Eastbourne. But I went to see him. He said this to me that day. He said, Sam, keep close to Gethsemane and Calvary. Keep close to Gethsemane and Calvary. Well, surely it's here, isn't it? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that surely is the very centre of the gospel. And the only way that I understand what it is to preach Jesus in my little way, to me, is to preach his word. Thou and thy word, in all things, are the same. The written and the incarnate word, in all things, are the same. So, dear servants of God that have come to this service, go on trying, seeking to preach Jesus. To preach Jesus. That is the preaching that the Lord will own and bless. But then, to go on a little You see, but the way in which a poor sinner is really enabled to preach Jesus and him crucified, I can tell you how the Lord brings it about. And it's here. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Much trembling. You know, I've trembled at the thought of attempting to preach here today. And I was tormented as to whether I should venture in the way that I have, but I hope I've learned this over the years. I can't turn back. I can't turn back. From one feels, and you servants of God will understand this, when you really feel the Lord has given you his word, then you must venture with it. Venture on him. Venture wholly. Let no other trust in truth. Well, this is the way the Lord does it. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now it was as though the Lord said, now you must go and tell the dear people what has been preached. And so I must continue a little more with this in the way that the Lord has burdened my soul. Again, what is the foundation of the gospel? Well, it's here, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now there you see is the substance of the gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And not only that, but this, he is the foundation, the one foundation upon which his church is built. And you may remember that he said to dear Peter, regarding his church, upon this rock, himself, not as the papists declare it, but as the Lord meant it, upon this rock, and he was speaking of himself, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But you know, we're living in days when that is happening more and more in the world and in our own land. Now, isn't that true? Isn't that true? The devil. Oh, the devil. I know not how to put it in words, but he is, has ever been seeking to overturn the very Church of Christ, but he cannot. He will only be allowed to go as far as he is allowed to go. And thus far thou shalt go, no further, and here shall thy found ways this day. But dear friends, the devil, I know not how to put it, but he's very busy today. Do you find it so in your own heart? I do. Do you find it so? Why, the devil, you know, he stands at the right hand of the Lord's servants, especially his servants and his people. Satan standing at their right hand to resist them. And he would resist God's servants preaching. He would resist us praying. He's ever there to resist. And Satan meets me when I try and fights my soul away. So then again, these are the truths that are being preached here. And what does that do when that is really preached and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together, now listen, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Dear Mr. Stanley Dells, who began to preach in his very early 20s, he came to Jaira Tentlin for the first time, feeling so down, so low, so distressed. But in those days, the morning prayer meeting at Jaira, it was held in the little vestry behind the pulpit, and the minister's vestry was next door. And dear Mr. Dells, one of the brethren, or more than one, but one of the brethren especially, he was so out to pray, and it so got into the dear man's heart that he could then stand up and give out his text. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you know, he preached to the Thanksgiving services at Jaira for over 50 years. Some of you remember him as I do. Oh, as God's servant indeed. Why? Because he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus to my poor soul, didn't he, to yours? Or have you had Jesus preach to your soul? But then I go on a little more here because of the burden that the Lord has, I hope, given. When Jesus and his cross are really preached by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit conveying the truth into poor sinners' hearts, then they are brought to know something of this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, and when this is known in the hearts of hearers, have we ever really known this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And do we have that hope? I ask you, I ask myself, do we have that hope, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? And then, and I can only venture in this way, much more could be said, I'm aware of that, but you know, there's another truth that I want just to convey as I come toward a close this afternoon. And that really is this: when Christ is formed in a poor sinner's heart as their hope of glory, then such truth as this is fulfilled in them. What does it do to them? It does this: if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. This is what the work of the Spirit within will do to poor sinners. Has it been done in your heart and mine? Oh, it will do. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, have we ever been brought just a little into such truth as this that the Apostle Paul preached to the church at Philippi? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I said at times over the years, I ask myself this afternoon, is the first part of that verse really true of you and I? For to me to live is Christ. At least could you say that is the burden of your soul? You fail, you come so short. But could you say that's just my burden? For to me to live is Christ. And I have said that if that is really true, then what follows will be as true, wonderfully true. and to die is gain. Now, if Christ has been preached to our souls as our hope of glory, then this will be true of us. And these are the truths, and much more, of course, that has been preached here. But I felt, Lord, help me to set before them the foundation of the gospel. Christ, that sure foundation stone. And he that believeth on him will never be ashamed. But how solemn we shall be ashamed if we know nothing of it. In the great day of judgment, when the Lord returns with power and great glory, you know what is said of those that are outside of Christ. They are called on the mountains and the hills to fall, to hide them from him that sitteth on the throne. But oh, shall we be among those of whom the Bible says, they lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, do you long to be able to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But finally, then, there is this. If this is true of us, if Christ has ever really been preached to our soul, then there will be this. For ye are dead. I die daily. The whole life of a child of God is one long dying process. Dying to the world, dying to the flesh, and dying to the power of Satan. Oh, you know, dear Mr. Tyler preached right into my heart about the ministry in Stone Chapel from those very words, your life. But the word, if it will come, it was this, and it's gone, but it may return. But there's that word, you know. Oh, it won't come back now, but perhaps I could, I might be allowed just to find it. But this word was preached, and it was preached right into my soul. I think I'm allowed just to find it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I shall never forget that Wednesday evening.